The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There was nothing that we could do. As sinners who had broken God's law, there was nothing that we could do to work or find our way back to the God who made us. Helpless. Hopeless. Have you ever felt helpless before? I have. When you work 40 hours a week to find a job and no job comes and the bills are piling up, it's a feeling of helplessness. When your body is failing you and there's no way back to health, death is knocking, it is helpless. When your own family is falling apart because of some indiscretion or failure, there's nothing that you can do to fix it. It's helpless. When you sit with a friend or a neighbor who is under the most excruciating pain of the most ineffable suffering, you can do nothing. It is a helpless, helpless feeling. But there is an even greater helplessness. And it is the helplessness of a sinner before a holy God. There was nothing that we could do. We were helpless and condemned already, as it says in John chapter 3. But this night, Good Friday, is all about a solution that God provided to our helpless, hopeless situation. That's why we're here. That's why we're singing the songs that we're singing. That's why we're reading the texts that we're reading. That's why you're hearing the Bible preached carefully. If you want to join me in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, you can find that in the Black Pew Bible on page 123 in the New Testament, page 123. In the last moments that we have in our service for tonight, before we sing once more, and then we will dismiss in silence, I want to share with you four works that God did on Good Friday. Four works that accomplished for us something that we could never, ever do for ourselves. Romans 8, verse 1, the Apostle Paul again tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. The law, God's righteous requirements and expectations, all of His commands, were weak. They could not save us. They could not bring us back to God because our hearts would not cooperate. It would be no good for God to give us another law to keep or something else for us to do. He had to do something on our behalf, something that we could not do for ourselves. And I want to show you these four. Here's the first. He sent his own son. We read it right there in verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God sent his own son as a bloody sacrifice for our sins. Would you send your own son? Your only son? Every parent has a natural instinct to protect their children. I remember as a young kid riding with my dad, I was in the passenger seat and he was driving along. If somebody stopped short in front of us, his 3.5-foot arm would suddenly reach across my chest and lock me into my seat stronger than any seatbelt that I had ever felt. Because it was his instinct to protect me. Even in creation, pass between a mother bear and her cub, get ready. Wrath is coming. But God loves us in an otherworldly kind of love. He does something that no human parent would ever dream of doing, giving his own son for his enemies. Not only that, but number two, on that Good Friday, he condemned sin in the flesh through his son. Listen to what Paul says next. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. I suppose in our pride and in our human finitude and foolishness, some parent might say, oh, I would give my son to save the world, especially knowing that I was going to get him back. 3 days later, I could raise him from the dead and all would be well. Okay? Would you condemn sin in him? Would you condemn him on behalf of your enemies? This second is the work that God did on behalf of us. He sent his own son into this fallen world as a poor, pitiful, as people around would accuse him and eventually condemn him for, blaspheming criminal. He did not send his son into the world as a hero. He sent him into the world as a sacrifice. Or as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. You cannot script this. There is no one in Hollywood, there are no authors in literature who can script this. No one thinks of doing this. Only the true God of the universe, who is abounding in grace and mercy and wisdom. Only God can devise a story like this and pull it off. But I fear that has become so well known to us that it is losing its impact. To really understand Good Friday, you must hear and you must feel this. The condemnation of sin in the flesh through his son was yours. It was mine. It has become somewhat of a cliche to say that Jesus took your cross. It was your cross that he bore. It seems like we say that so often that it just becomes routine to us. What does that even mean? It means nothing less than that the storm of God's wrath was coming for you and me. His wrath was hanging over our heads, hunting us every moment of the day, until God's wrath, on one appointed day, planned from eternity past in the mind of God, found Jesus. And God condemned sin in the flesh through his Son. Third, not only did he condemn sin in the flesh, but he fulfilled the law for us through his Son. Continue on in the text with me. God did. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. The law, remember, those righteous expectations and responsibilities and commands, those that belong to every creature of his, they were to keep them and hold them and treasure them and to be before him, ever obeying, ever loving. And yet we failed miserably and fell short, horribly short, of the glory of God. And yet he did this so that that requirement might be fulfilled in us. The law of God says to you and me, do this and you will live. And that law becomes bad news to people like you and me because we have not done this. And therefore, by God's justice, we do not get to live. Not unless we can gain righteousness somewhere else, rather from someone else. As the story of redemption unfolds, there was, as it says in Romans, not one who did good. No one sought for God. No one was righteous until Jesus. And through his perfect law-keeping, his perfect life, even that being on our behalf, this incredible exchange occurred in which our sin penalty was exchanged for his perfect righteousness, and this very thing happened in those that would place their faith in him. The requirement of the law was fulfilled. It was not enough for Jesus to simply pay for your sin. Paying your sin debt, paying mine, what would that do? That would only bring us back from infinitely negative to zero. But that's not all that he did for us. He also fulfilled all righteousness and the requirement of the law, and he gave it to us as a gift, credited on our behalf. Like the faithful doctor who does all he can to save his patient, Jesus did not merely pay off our debt, but he gave us infinite riches of righteousness in God's eyes and in God's kingdom forevermore. And then finally, number four, the fourth work that I hope you will remember as we approach Easter and we give God thanks for all that Jesus has done. He gave us a new way to walk through his Son. The work of Jesus on our behalf continues in those who trust him and follow him by faith alone every single day, as his grace continues to flow through us and in us. Like the trolley that is powered by the constant contact to the electrical cable, Jesus' life-giving Holy Spirit continues to flow into our lives, administering the grace that we need to walk in a new way. In verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is one of the central reasons why we rejoice in Christ. He did not come simply to give us some kind of ticket or entrance into God's kingdom. He didn't come just to take away our sin and let us live our lives the way that we want. He came to take over all of us. Just as sin had totally depraved every part of us, he came to redeem every part of us so that we're no longer the same. We're not only forgiven, we are empowered, and we are walking in a different way. This has to do with how we act and how we think and how we feel and how we see the world, how we depend upon Jesus as our ultimate treasure and the hope of our lives. This is how you can recognize someone who has true faith in Jesus. They don't just claim to be saved from their sins. They claim to be empowered for their lives. They live their lives for him. They sacrifice for him. They love him. They worship him. They exalt him. For that reason, they are never, ever the same. We celebrate all four of these works on Good Friday. Why? Because when we were hopeless and helpless, he died for us. Our Father in heaven, we exalt you this night because of your perfect grace and power. We fear that the death of Jesus and his resurrection on Easter morning has become so familiar to us that it goes right over our heads. And so it's our prayer this night that you would work in our hearts by your grace a fresh appreciation for what you have done for us in Christ, a renewed sense of our utter helplessness and hopelessness in our sin, that there was nothing that we could do. We were not little sinners in need of a little Savior. We were great sinners in need of a perfect Savior. And it is on this night that we had one. One who would give his life on behalf of sinners, enemies of his, like us. There would be sacrifice so that sin would be condemned by your hand in the flesh through your Son. And that by faith in him, we might gain his righteousness as he fulfilled the law on our behalf. And therefore, it is our prayer that we would not leave here, that we would not leave here any moment, any day, any Sunday, any Friday, without being moved and changed, without being renewed in our minds, without being ready to walk and to live for you. But we do give you thanks today, and we look forward to Sunday when we will celebrate the great culmination of your redemptive story, the one that has Jesus at the center. And we give you thanks for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.